Dr. Tufaleni is our next guest, who has taken rather a unique look at June 16 and what it means and what it should mean for people of South Africa. He has drawn a direct line or direct link between the tradition of people dressing up in their old school uniforms to commemorate June 16 and the horrible abuse faced by women. A very good morning to you, Dr. Tufaleni.
Good morning, Abongile, and good morning to the listeners of Cape Talk Radio.
Without wasting any time, Dr. Faleni, can we draw the line between June 16 and when violence towards our women in our society? And if we can draw that line, what is that line?
Abongile, 41 years ago, 1976, a group of young men and women stood side by side, marched against oppression, exploitation, and domination. And they died, killed by an oppressive system. 41 years later, women have become victims of violence by men, especially in townships. And I don't believe at all that those young men and women who 41 years lost their lives, they lost their lives so that later on, two generations later, women can become victims of abuse and violence. So there is a direct parallel that those young men and women stood side by side and faced the heavy bullets of the apartheid system and died for freedom so that women and children can walk freely in our new democracy. And that's where I see the parallel.
In terms of, you mentioned, though, in one of your, as you've just mentioned now, also that, you know, people dress up in uniform, and after dressing in uniform, we celebrate for the day, and then it's off to the shebeens. And then after the shebeens, this is where most of the violence will be taking place. Where to then? If we are saying, or rather, yes, we are in fact saying that young people should not be going to shebeens, but we're talking about high levels of youth unemployment. How do we get our youth away from the shebeens then?
I think the problem is the legacy of apartheid, but also its lack of initiative in our own communities, that we don't create alternative ways of entertainment, so that instead of young people going to shebeens, young people can go to a cultural club, do dancing, do music. If you look at the culture of black people in the townships in the 70s and 60s, during the emergence of jazz and black culture and a particular way of dressing in the townships, shebeens were not a dominant culture because there were alternative ways of recreation and leisure. And we need to explore alternative platforms and create them so that we reduce the number of young people who spend their time in shebeens.
Thank you. To you listening at home, I'm joined on the line by Dr. Tufaleni, talking to us about the link that we should draw between June 16 and the sacrifices that were made back then to the violence against women and children currently taking place in South Africa now. Doctor, you mentioned that, you know, some of the issues with young people going back to shebeens and partying could have a direct link to the old apartheid system. In your article that you wrote, though, you say that, what is it that distorted the morality of some black males to the extent that they see no wrong in subjecting women and children to violence to the point of killing them in the most horrific manner that one can imagine? The fault lies not in the nature of the violence of colonialism and apartheid meted out to black males in particular, that, as the flawed theory goes, has made black males more prone to violent behavior. The fault lies with how social institutions in our townships, where this is where you mentioned families, some churches, schools, stockfells, taverns, and shebeens, have condoned the emergence and eventually the growth of a culture of violent behavior amongst black men. So is it apartheid, or is it us? Is it our society now, is it our churches, is it our schools that have condoned this sort of behavior?
Thank you for raising that point. For me, we have a tendency to say our behavior, our current behavior, violent behavior as men, is distorted by the history of the violent past in the form of colonialism and apartheid. That is not true. I think we have made a choice to condone a culture of violence against children and women. And I'm mentioning societal institutions. Take, for instance, families. The perpetrators of these violent acts, they live in families. Families are able to see that these people are a potential threat to their girlfriends, to their intimate partners, but families choose to be silent. The men belong to social clubs. They belong to golf clubs. They visit shipping units. We know them. We know that these people are abusing their women. They are abusing their children. What do we choose to do as societal institutions or as members of societal institutions? We choose to be silent. And we condone it, and we make as if it doesn't happen. And eventually what you see, we find a dead woman, a woman who has been burned. For me, the perpetrator of that crime is known by society institutions, and that could have been stopped, but we have come to allow it. We have a distorted culture that protects, condones, that chooses silence, and then this results in the death of children and women.
And then, Dr. Falini, I suppose, then before we finish off, the question is, where do we start? Where do we start?
I think, for me, it's a state of emergency. We have talked too much about it. We have written extensively about it, including myself. We have done research about it. For me, it must stop. We must act. And the first way of acting is to improve the law. To strengthen the law so that one, for instance, if there is a suspicion that a man is a threat to the life of a woman or a child, that child must be removed to a place of safety. If you look at the churches, you have the mission houses. We could at every church have a house of safety where if a woman or a child feels threatened by a man, the police have the right, in terms of new legislation, so to say, to remove that person, and that person for that weekend be taken to a place of safety. So we need to strengthen the law, and two, we need to improve on education, strengthen education, that women have the right to dignity and respect, and they have the right to enjoy their safety. And education should be at all levels, at preschool, at primary school, at secondary school, at universities, and teach men to respect the lives of women and not to violate the personal space of women.
Dr. Tutu Faleni, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning, and please do enjoy the rest of your morning.
It's my pleasure.